Okay, so hello everyone, first of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about the 4 per 1,000 or 4 per mil initiative. So my name is Suzanne Lutfala, and I'm working with Jean-François Soussana at INRA in France, in Paris. And we've been working on this 4 per mil initiative, source for food security and climate, and also on its international research program. And so I'm acting as a scientific officer of the international research program of the 4 per mil initiative. So today, I know there is a 40 minutes time slot allocated to this presentation, and I'm going to try to keep it short, around 30 minutes, so we have time to exchange, and if you have any questions, I will be glad to try and answer them. So this 4 per mil initiative and the international research program that is associated is a work that's done with colleagues at INRA, but also colleagues at different institutes. And here are their names, the CGIAR, CIRAD in France, INRA, IRD, and Ohio State University. So first of all, I'm going to give you a bit of context on this 4 per mil initiative. So this initiative was, as the moderator was saying, launched at COP21 in Paris last year in 2015. And this initiative has two components. One component is a multi-partner action plan, and the other is the international research program I was telling you about. The idea of the 4 per mil initiative is to develop actions in coordination with other initiatives and with other domains. Really quickly, this initiative welcomes all kinds of stakeholders, and it's a voluntary initiative. So there are states and communities, so there are 46 and counting countries at the moment. There are international organizations part of the initiative, such as the World Bank or the FAO, but there is also research institutes, technical institutes, producer organizations, civil society, and the private sector that are present in this multi-stakeholder initiative. So the aim of the 4 per mil initiative is very simple. It has one objective, is to improve levels of organic matter in soils in order to foster carbon sequestration. And it hopes to reach three major outcomes: to improve food security by enhancing soil fertility and combating land degradation, to also provide solutions for adaptation of agriculture to climate disruption, and finally also to provide mitigation to climate change. So during this presentation, I'm going to take you from the climate negotiations and its link with the land sector to the idea of that soil carbon sequestration could be part of the solution, and finally I will focus on the international 4 per mil initiative. So first of all, climate negotiations and the land sector. Well, if we look at the agriculture, forestry and land use sector, the AFOLU sector, it is estimated that it represents around 24% of the global anthropogenic greenhouse gases emissions. That's estimated by the IPCC report. And so it's a significant part of the greenhouse gases emissions, and it's probably it's going to increase over the years, because even though the emissions are not going to increase, if the other sectors are actually taking action to decrease their emissions, the share for the AFOLU sector is going to mathematically increase. So you might have heard that the Paris Agreement that was decided at COP21 was put into force a month ago or so, because enough countries ratified the agreement and provided tools to actually combat climate change. And these tools, part of these tools, are these NDCs, nationally determined contributions. And if you look at the different countries who have submitted nationally determined contributions, you see that 129 countries have included this AFOLU, agriculture, forestry and land use sector, in their NDCs. And looking at the numbers, there was an estimation done by the International Institute for Applied System Analysis, IASA, that these NDCs and the AFOLU sector represented at least 25% of the total committed greenhouse gas mitigations. That's a very high number. And then, if you have a further look at these nationally determined contributions, you see that 100 countries have included adaptation in these NDCs. And the land sector is a key sector for adaptation. So when you have further looks at the emissions and what's contained in these NDCs, you see that by 2030, there is a gap of 12 gigatons of CO2 equivalent. if we follow what's put in the NDCs, and that prevents us from staying under the 2 degrees threshold of warming. So, and this was published in the Emission Gap Report by UNEP in 2015. So the idea of the 4 per million initiative is that maybe part of this gap could be matched by soil carbon sequestration, and maybe we could do so while contributing to food security and providing tools to climate change adaptation. When you look at how agriculture can participate in mitigation, you see that there is still a gap if you only look at non-CO2 abatement in the agricultural sector. If you look at a mitigation target, a yearly mitigation target of 1 gigaton of CO2 equivalent for the agricultural sector by 2030, and you only take into account nitrous oxide, and methane mitigation, you only it's projected that you would only meet 21 to 40% of this mitigation target. So soil carbon has a role to play in how agriculture can mitigate. And so that was in a paper by Vollenberg and colleagues published earlier this year in Global Change Biology. So why would soil carbon be important in this mitigation? Well, you are probably aware that there is 2 to 3 times more carbon in the soil organic matter than in the atmospheric CO2. So very small changes in the contents of carbon in the soils can have a great impact on the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere. But further than that, it was estimated in the IPCC reports that 1.4 billion metric tons of carbon could be stored annually in agricultural soils, and that would represent in the topsoil a 0.48% increase per year, which is very close to the 0.4% target of the 4 per mil initiative. Then there is also the fact that the FAO estimates that half of the agricultural soils are degraded, which will lead to global grain losses estimated at $1.2 billion. So there is also room here for improving the soils and having an impact also on food security. Still on the food security aspect of the 4 per mil initiative, it was estimated by Lal in a paper in 2006 that storing an additional ton of carbon per hectare in the soils in developing countries could contribute to an additional production of grain that would be in the order of 24 to 40 million metric tons. So that's significant. And finally, a study in China by Pan and collaborators in 2009 show that soil restoration, which leads to increased organic matter in soils, led to reduced yield variability, so increased also the food security aspect. So you see that soil organic matter has multiple benefits, and if you look at the different ecological services that soil organic matter brings, you see that it's actually at the crossroads of the different United Nations conventions. You have the United Nations Convention on Climate Change, but also the Convention to Combat Desertification and Land Degradation, also the Convention on Biological Diversity, and of course, food security aspects. So why do we talk about the 4 per mil, and how did we come up with this number? Well, if you look at the global carbon cycle, based on the numbers contained in the Paris Agreement, you see that in the year 2030-2050, this is how the global carbon cycle looks like. So you still have a significant emissions from fossil fuel and cement, and that's around 11 gigatons of carbon per year. You still have land use changes contributing around 1 gigaton of carbon per year to the atmosphere, and you have two sinks. You have the land sink and the ocean sink. And the net atmospheric growth is positive and quite significant, with a 6.3 gigatons of carbon released in the atmosphere every year. So what would happen if we implement, in an ideal situation, the 4 per mil initiative? Well, first, what's contained in the idea of this 4 per mil initiative is that the land use changes would not contribute to the increase of CO2 in the atmosphere. So that means that deforestation should be halted and tropical forest degradation should be also stopped. Then there are different measures that need to be taken in agriculture concerning cropland and pasture, but also actions to be taken for degraded and salinized soils and for forest systems and agroforestry systems. And if you look at the soils, the soil carbon sequestration of this ideal aspirational 4 per mil target would be 3.5 gigatons of carbon per year, which would represent 0.4% or 4 per mil of the carbon stock of the upper 40 centimeters of soil. Because in the upper 40 centimeters of soil, it is estimated that there would be around 860 gigatons of carbon. So if you take all of this into account in this ideal world, you actually have a zero atmospheric growth in terms of carbon. So how can we actually increase soil carbon sequestration rates? Well, there are different techniques. There was a really nice study by Keith Poston and collaborators published in Nature earlier this year about climate smart soils that was actually looking at what's available today and the potential of the different techniques. There are also other techniques, and all of these techniques need to be adapted to the local ecosystems and the political also, environments. But it was including nitrous oxide abatement, biochar, and breeding. The potential for mitigation would be around 2.18 gigatons of CO2 carbon equivalent every year. So carbon sequestration in soils also has limits and co-benefits. Looking at the bright side, the co-benefits I've already talked about them are with food security and with lower mitigation costs, but also for climate change adaptation, and more particularly the water properties of soils due to enhanced carbon contents such as water infiltration and retention. But there are also limits to this goal of the 4 per mil initiative. First of all, the adoption of soil organic carbon sequestration measures will take time. We're talking about millions of hectares, but also millions of landowners, stakeholders, and if all of them are to are to take part in this initiative, it's going to take a significant amount of time. Then there is the idea of the fact that soil organic carbon will increase only over a finite period of time, and that's around 30 to 50 years, depending on the systems. And so that's up to the point when a new soil organic carbon equilibrium is reached. And finally, the additional soil organic carbon stocks that is added to the soils needs to be monitored, but more importantly, needs to be preserved. And preserving this soil organic carbon stock means that we keep on doing the practices that we have implemented. And that's also something that's very important to consider. Then I'm talking about soil organic carbon a lot, but we should not forget that other elements are essential if we want to increase soil organic carbon in soils. And that's soil phosphorus and nitrogen, among others, that should be available. And so there are different ways of doing that, but we should also avoid the excess of these elements that would also lead to new emissions. So different things are available. And finally, especially in dry regions, water management needs to be associated with soil management practices if we want to increase soil organic carbon in those soils. So I've talked to you about the aspirational global carbon cycle if the 4 per mil was to be implemented. And I'm going to give you a few more figures about the technical and economic potential of soil organic carbon sequestration. Well, in terms of technical potential, if we look at the different systems, in agricultural soils, I already told you that it's estimated by IPCC that 1.4 gigatons of carbon could be stored every year in the topsoil. Then if we look at forest and agroforestry systems, different estimations show that there would be a potential of 1.3 gigatons of carbon per year, and that's excluding the biomass, which would represent 2.7 gigatons of carbon per year of additional storage. And then if we look at degraded, salt-affected, and desertified soil, it was estimated in a paper by Ratan Lal in 2010 that there would be a potential ranging from 0.5 to 1.4 gigatons of carbon stored every year. So there are technical uncertainties around this potential, but a 3.4 gigatons of carbon per year target could be technically achievable, and that is a 4 per mil target. And what's interesting is that if we achieve that potential, that would double the total mitigation encompassed in the currently NDC tools that I told you about by 2030. And finally, for the agricultural sector, there was an assessment of the economic potential, and that would be around 1 gigaton of carbon per year for agriculture. And that's under a scenario where the price of the ton of CO2 is very high, it's $120, but this price is compatible with the 2 degrees warming scenario. And finally, there are local studies in Asia, Latin America, and Africa that show that the practices that provide this 4 per mil increase in soil carbon have also large co-benefits in terms of yields, with on average a 1.3% increase in crop yields. That's a study done at CGIAR. So, going back to this 4 per mil initiative, I told you in the introduction that there were two aspects to the initiative. First, there is the action plan, where there are two things that are developed. First, a platform where many different stakeholders can form partnerships and meet. And so I've told you about the different kinds of stakeholders. You have countries, but you also have donors. You also have civil society and NGOs. You have the private sector. And so the idea is to bring these people together to actually develop projects that provide organic carbon sequestration. And these projects need to also be guided and assessed. And so there is a development of a project assessment mechanism, which is based on a reference framework of indicators, making sure that the different objectives of the initiative are met and that the projects are going to have a significant impact. And the second component is a scientific program in which I am personally involved, and it's developing an international research and cooperation program, and also as an aspect of developing a digital resource center on soil carbon, building up on what's already existing and not recreating something from scratch. So a bit more about the International Research and Scientific Cooperation Program. The idea is, again, I'm taking this picture from Postian et al. In Nature because it's really what we're aiming at with the research program, is to really have an integration of research and implementation in the research program. And so the idea is to develop different pillars of research. And so here they are. There are four main themes for the International Research Program on soil carbon sequestration. The first theme is about the potential of soil carbon sequestration. And the idea is to try to improve estimates of the baseline and of the potential of soil carbon sequestration or loss according to different land management practices in different ecoregions and different countries. And then there are two themes relating to the implementation of practices that actually store organic carbon in soils. The first aspect is a technical aspect, and so it's the idea of designing and co-constructing agronomic strategies and practices for soil carbon sequestration, including the assessment of limits and co-benefits for the different aspects of the initiative. And the second theme for implementation is more about policy, is to make sure that once we have the technical tools, we also have the institutional arrangements and the public policies, which include financial mechanisms, that actually promote and reward the relevant practices to make sure that the practices are actually implemented. And then the last theme is verification. It's really important that we develop metrics and methods which monitor, report, and verify soil carbon sequestration to see how far or not we are from the goal and how much carbon we actually sequester. And this needs to be done at different scales, across scales, from the farm level to the country level. So the idea of this international research program is to be evidence-based and policy-relevant so that it actually helps countries, stakeholders, and private sector to and provides them with options for soil organic carbon sequestration. It also aims at being very connected to the multi-partner 4 per mil initiative. And it's not going to stand on its own. It's going to be nested, and it is actually nested in existing international programs such as the GRA, the Global Research Alliance on Agriculture or Greenhouse Gases, and more specifically in the Integrative Research Group of the GRA, but also other research groups. And Jane Johnson, who is co-organizing this session, is actually one of the co-chairs of the CropLand Research Group of the GRA. And also other programs such as the CCAFS and WLEs programs of the CGIAR. So CCAFS is Climate Change, Agriculture and Food Security, and WLE is Water, Land and Ecosystem Program. And it's also well connected to other research and knowledge programs such as the GSP, AGMIP or the European Joint Programming Initiative FACE. So the idea is really to find synergies in existing programs and not reinvent the wheel every time. So just a few words, a few last words on the initiative and the global initiative. So the 4 per million initiative has developed its governance structure, and there are four bodies of governance. There is a consultation and collaboration body, the forum of the initiative, where the partnerships are to be made and the different stakeholders are to meet. Then, so all stakeholders are welcome in the forum of the initiative. And then there is a decision-making body, which is a consortium of the initiative. And in this body, all the stakeholders are welcome, except for the private sector actors. Then there is a scientific body, providing the science of and checking the assessment of the projects, which is a scientific and technical committee, which has been formed and will be announced next week, actually, with experts from all disciplines all over the world. And there is an executive body, the International Secretariat. So this governance has been developed in the last few months, and it will be officially set up at COP22 in Marrakech. So COP22 has started yesterday. It will go on for 2 weeks. And so next week, on November 17, the governance of the 4 per million initiative will be set up. And so a few take-home messages before I welcome your questions. So the 4 per million initiative sets itself an aspirational goal of 4 per million annual soil organic carbon sequestration rate, which means that every year the soil organic carbon stocks would increase by 0.4% without a depth limit. I've talked about this 40 centimeters depth when I was showing you the calculation of this 4 per million, but actually the projects that need to be developed have no, I mean, this will not be a criteria in terms of depth. The idea of the initiative is to help address three challenges: climate change mitigation, adaptation, and food security. It's a voluntary initiative. There is no binding commitment when you sign the declaration of the initiative. It's developing two aspects: an action plan with the partnerships and an international research program. It's got an inclusive and effective governance, and it strives to develop in synergy with existing initiatives. So I can only tell you that if you're going to COP22, you can meet us next week in Marrakech, where the governance will be set up, and there will be a specific 4 per million scientific side event, which is co-organized by my institution, INRA. And with that, I can thank you for your attention and welcome your questions. So the idea of the initiative, it's even though it was launched at COP21 and it's part of the Lima Paris Action Agenda, it's not part of the UNCCD and the UNFCCC. but the project that will be developed in the initiative, thanks to the partnerships, etc., can be projects that also are in the UNCCD. We have strong links with these conventions, with individual being involved in the different conventions, but officially there is not a link. Well, so this is usually what's observed when you, well, it depends on the systems, huh? But it's usually observed that when you have a soil with an initial soil carbon content and that you implement a practice that is effectively storing carbon, it's usually dynamics that are a few decades of increasing before reaching a new equilibrium. So that's usually the kind of curve we observe.
My understanding that the U.S. has not signed this declaration
I can give part of an answer. So you're right. I have the same understanding that the that USDA has not signed on to the initiative, but we have very good interaction and communication with them. So that's, from my understanding, it's also still an ongoing process. So one thing that I should also mention right from now is that even though the US is not, as a government or as a state, not signed on to the initiative, well, different stakeholders in the US landscape, so universities or technical institutes or companies, can of course join the initiative. And what would be the what would you miss out if you're not part of it? Well, there are different things. I think there is the timing question, that the initiative is still very young, and so if you sign on now, you have a voice in shaping, and you can shape the initiative, and you can actually decide, help decide what's going to happen there and what's not going to happen. So that's of course something that, if you want to be there and have an impact, you should be there early, because there is a lot of momentum around the initiative. And so that's one point. And then once the initiative is set up, I think what you're missing out on is the, for me, it's multi-partnerships that can be created there. The idea that we have now, and it's still increasing, organizations that are going to be around the table and meet people who have projects, who have policies at the national level, and are going to be able to meet that with financing or with synergies that are transnational. So that would be for a country, what I understand. Yeah.
Thanks for this nice presentation. How is the initiative addressing climate change mitigation? Because we know that about 35% of the emissions will stay in the atmosphere for millennia. So if you sequester carbon, it also has to stay for millennia in the soil. And how is the initiative addressing the interference with soil inorganic carbon, which is even more stable than soil organic carbon?
Okay, so the initiative is for now not focusing on inorganic carbon, so that's a really simple answer. And then for the mitigation aspect, I think the idea for soil organic carbon sequestration is more that today it's one of the few approaches that can actually start sequestering carbon quickly, and that we know that that something is achievable. How we see it is that it's actually something that needs to be done in the next 20, 50 years, but that's not the answer for the millennium timescale. And the idea is also to provide some time to develop other things, and to also let the other sectors come up with different solutions. So that's not looking at millennium timescales. So that's definitely one of the aspects of the initiative, actually convincing and making sure the people who are working on the land actually implement these practices. I'm not speaking on behalf of the French government. I'm not part of the French government. And the initiative, though it was launched by France, is not a French government initiative anymore. So looking at what's happening in France, I don't think I'm the expert person to answering that. I know there is a lot going on in terms of policies right now in France. The thing is with France and agriculture and how to convince farmers is that France is in the European Union, and that's the politics for agriculture at the European level. And so there is a CAP policy, and I know that it's revised every few years, and in the next scheme, it's going to be developing tools and, for example, subsidies or other tools so that farmers implement this. What I can also tell you is that there is a very interesting example for Australia. Australia has come up with a carbon accounting in agriculture plan, which has two ways of farmers getting involved. There is one where they say, okay, if you want to enter this plan, you make measurements at the beginning, for example at year zero, and you make measurements 5 years after, and if you have indeed sequestered carbon, you will receive that amount of money. The thing is with this first option is that it's very expensive to do all of these measurements. And the other thing is that they have developed a combination of modeling approaches, and you can participate in that plan. And actually, without having to make too many measurements, you can actually be retributed for the practices that you are putting and which sequester carbon. I can send you information if you're interested about this to schemes that they have developed. So I hope this helps. As I said, it's a voluntary action and it's not committing. So the countries, when they sign, they don't commit to funding activities. But the 4 per mille initiative has also sparked different things that are going to lead to funding for research. I've mentioned very briefly the European Joint Programming Initiative, FACE. And so FACE is actually funding research, and it has a 4 per mille item now. I can also speak of the other examples that I know. It's France, for instance. The agency, the research agency in France, has put in its next call for funding the 4 per mille initiative and the 4 per mille objectives in the call. So things are moving. It's also at the European Union level. There is a lot of interest from the Commission to actually develop new tools that are going to help fund research and make sure that the objectives of the 4 per mille are developed in terms of research. So things are moving, but there is nothing committing when people sign on, so I cannot tell you it's voluntary. Yeah, so I'm not sure I'm the right person to ask this question to, because of course I'm convinced of the value and I would be ready to pay more. So I think I'm a bit biased. The thing is that in the different research themes that we're developing in the research program, I think that this question needs to be addressed, and that's why we don't only need soil scientists and people from the croplands and different, but also people from the economy who are able to actually assess this. I would see that in the third theme of implementation and different, also taking into account the social aspects, and not only for the landowners, but also for the whole society. I mean, I would like to be hopeful and say that people are going to see this this interest, but I don't have the figures or anything. Okay. Oh wow! I spoke so fast. Sorry. I can. Hi. No. So I think we should start talking about all the aspects, and while we should make sure that there is still research and activities that go to better assess the potential or better assess the models that actually tell you where we should store carbon and how, I think that the practices are already there, and you're right, and so that's why we do not only launch a research program but also an action plan. And so I would see that in the action plan part of the initiative, where the projects are actually starting to be developed and the practices are there, and we should get things moving. So what's really encouraging somehow is that so there is a first Jeff project. So Jeff is a group. Now I'm yeah. Facility, yeah, okay, yeah, which has four formal objectives and that aims at actually implementing the practices at a country level in Uruguay. There is also, we're speaking with the different agencies to make sure that the projects that are developed actually have these items there. So things are moving already. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry I spoke so fast.